You are listening to messages from Victory Outreach in the city of Whittier. We pray that you are inspired, challenged, and provoked to become all that God has called you to be. For daily insight, please log into victoryoutreachwhittier.org.
We talked about a very important subject, and we went through the mind. How many of you were with us last week? Raise your hands. Amen. Praise the Lord. And we're on a series. We're on the helmet of salvation, and so we started talking about the mind, and I'm going to continue on. Breaking a couple more scriptures down and talking about that. Today I want to talk to you about what a stronghold is and how the Lord has given us power to break every stronghold. And then I want to take a fresh look at Philippians chapter 4 and how we can use that scripture to face all the circumstances and everything that you and I go through. Amen? Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, once again, we come into your presence. Lord, you said in your word, you know the hearts of all men, so you know that we love you. And Lord, we praise you. And I pray today that your word would go forth and accomplish what you wanted to accomplish. I pray you would anoint me to minister to your people, to provoke, inspire, encourage, and challenge. Let your word take root. Holy Spirit, move freely. I pray if there's anyone watching online that needs a fresh touch today, you would minister to them. Any backslider, anybody who's walking afar off, here in this sanctuary, go out, Lord, or through the means of a video of the cameras. Father, in Jesus' name, touch your people. And everybody says, amen and amen. Well, we're beginning this morning. With Ephesians 6:17. I'm just going to read it to you. You don't have to turn there because we're going to move fast. It says, put on the helmet of salvation. We looked at that last week. We talked about helmet. It comes in two Greek words. The word P-E-R-I. Apari and Kalipia, and they, one of them means completely around something, completely a complete covering. The second root word means actually a person's head. So really what it's basically saying is a helmet that fits tightly around the head. And we talked about last week how the enemy, the evil forces of darkness, are going to try to attack you, and how they attack us is through our what?
Mind.
Say through our minds. And it's very true. Now, I'm going to begin this morning. Well, let me go to the next scripture. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11, we looked at it last week, for we are not ignorant of his devices, of Satan's devices. We mentioned the root word for devices, what it means. And it's translated this, his schemes, his methodology, his plans. And it symbolizes a road one that goes in one direction, which, in other words, the way that he tries to get to us from the very beginning in the Garden of Eden was through the mind, always through the mind. He got Adam and Eve to fall when he first went and got into the mind of Eve. And so the mind is the way that the enemy tries to get in. And so we looked at that. So a modern-day translation of 2 Corinthians 2:11 would read, we are not ignorant, listen to this translation, we are not ignorant of his mind games that the devil tries to pull on us. I like that translation. We're not ignorant of the mind games that the devil tries to pull on us. And everybody here has faced the mind games of the devil. And they'll try to come in through your emotions. We're going to talk about that a little bit. He tries to get in through our emotions a lot of times, making us feel, whether we have insecurities or we're prideful or whatever, however it is, he tries to come in and play mind games to try to stop us, divert us, and ultimately he wants to destroy us. Now, the devil tries to attack the mind. We talked about last week, I'm going to try to bring you up to speed and then we're going to move forward. Satan knows that your mind is the control center for your life. How many know that's true? The mind is the control center for your life. It's the control tower of your conduct, your character, and your conversation. Your character is the mental and moral qualities of who you are as a person. How you feel and how you behave and your conduct, the way you act, the way you respond. Proverbs 20:11 we looked at says, even a child is known by their actions or their conduct. Also, our conversation. What we think determines how we talk. And the Bible says in Luke, Jesus said in Luke 6:45, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And that's true. If our mind is filled with certain things, we'll say certain things. The devil knows that if he can seize control of your thought life, then he will be able to influence you. And that's what he wants to try to do, to influence us. He will try to manipulate your emotions. We talked about last week how the helmet of salvation will protect us from unsanctified emotions. I'm gonna talk a little bit more. We're going to go a little bit deeper on emotions because this is where he tries to come in. And we have to have our emotions sanctified. How many of you have ever gotten frustrated or angry? Not talking before you got saved. Put your hand up. Since you're a tongue-talking, Holy Ghost-filled, praying woman, man of God who's in the Word, attends church, wears a tie, wears a dress, have gotten angry. Really? How many of you have ever gotten sad? Anybody got discouraged? Anybody ever feel like punching someone? No, just kidding. Only the home? Of course not. Not us, right? Right, Tony? Not us. Unsanctified emotions. Those are emotions that can cause us to react a certain way. And see, here's the thing. Our emotions are directly tied to our upbringing. And a lot of times our emotions are tied to how we were raised. And not only that, to how we lived before we got saved. And it's a process to be able to have your emotions sanctified. Hello, can I get a witness? That's what we got to do. We got to give our emotions up. Our emotions have to be under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Now, that word influence is a very important word, especially in talking about this subject, under the influence. Let me look around. Probably not, maybe one or two of you. Have you ever been under the influence of something like alcohol or narcotics? No? Sorry, wrong church. One guy in the home. Amen. Thank you for your honesty. One guy. We're praying for you, bro. I know you've only been there for 2 years. Under the influence. We need to have our emotions under the influence of the Holy Spirit so when things like that happen, we don't respond in a carnal, fleshly way, which is very difficult. Hurt feelings, being disappointed, discouraged. You could tell what's in somebody's heart when this happens. You could tell really where somebody's at spiritually or what's in their heart when they get their feelings hurt or they get disappointed or they get discouraged or even if they fail, if they beat themselves up and they feel like, man, who am I? So we have to be very careful because the enemy will target our minds and we have to have our emotions sanctified. How do we do that? Prayer and the Word. Somebody say simply prayer and the Word. That's it. Prayer and the Word. You go to prayer. Go to prayer. Now, I want to read a scripture. John chapter 8. Can we put it up on the screens, please? This is heavy. John chapter 8. And I want to read this. Verse 42. Do we have 42 up? Jesus said to them, if God were your Father, you would love me, for I came from God, and now I'm here. I have not come of my own, but he who sent me. Look at verse 43. Why is my language not clear to you? Because you are unable to hear what I say. Now he gets heavy. Verse 44. You belong to your father, the devil. That's heavy. That's heavy. And I've seen Christians use this against other Christians. That's pretty heavy, huh? And you want to carry out your father's desires. How do you carry out desires? It first gets in your emotions. You get angry, you get jealous, you get frustrated, you get prideful, you get lustful. It attacks your emotions, and then you carry out. And what's tied to that is our thoughts and feelings. Thoughts and feelings are married to each other, and they got to be under the influence of the Holy Spirit if you really want to walk like Jesus walked. And he says, he said, if you want to carry out your father's, you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language. Watch this. For he is a, say it with me. The devil is a. The devil is a. And the father of lies. I wanted to remind you this morning, when the devil comes and tries to lie to you and attack you in any way, he is a. We have to keep that in our minds. The devil's a liar. He's a stinking liar. And he's always trying to discourage us. He's always trying to block us and thwart God's plan. But he can't. Only if you have unsanctified emotions and you don't have control over your thought life. Now, there's another scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Can we put that up once again? This time we're going to go a little deeper than we did last time. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Verses 4 and 5, I'm going to read it to you from a different translation. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but are mighty through God to the pulling. Notice the terminology, the pulling. And it's interesting because that's a verb in the Greek, and what it actually means, it takes effort. You have to strain, pulling. It takes effort, pulling. You got to do it. It won't just happen. In order for you to pull something down, you're going to have to put effort into it. It won't just happen. You cannot just sit there and not fight the enemy from his lies that he tries to come. You have to do something about it. A stronghold won't go away if you just do nothing about it. Coming to church won't help you overcome a stronghold. Getting the word of God inside of your heart while you're at church. Worshiping God. Binding the devil. When he comes and tries to put stuff in your mind, say, shut up, devil, you're a liar. I bind that in the name of Jesus. You have to do something. Pulling down strongholds. Everybody say strongholds. We're going to come back to that word this morning. We're going to talk about what a stronghold is. Now, it says, but watch this. Casting down imaginations. Now, how many of you here have good imaginations? Let me see. Lift your hands if you... Somebody said, my God, I hope it's a good one. I heard you, sister. The world calls it daydreaming. How many of you have ever daydreamed that you came into a large amount of money or won the lotto or something crazy? Raise your hand. Come on, be honest. Be honest this morning. Come on. Raise your hand. If you're here and you've ever done that, raise your hand. Come on, come on. Miguel, don't be ashamed. Lord, I'll pay for the whole church. I'll bless people that I know are struggling. But if you ain't being a giver now, you won't do it when you get a lot anyways. That's a fact. If you're not even a tither, you win a lot of money, you're going to do the same thing you're doing now. So if you're faithful in the little, you'll be faithful in much. If you're unfaithful in little, you'll be unfaithful with much. But I said that to say casting down imaginations. Not only money, but people imagine things that are impure and ungodly. Like you can imagine somebody that gets you angry having an accident. You can imagine this or imagine that or something like this. Or so it says pulling down strongholds is very important. Look at it. Because the Bible says that God knows our thoughts. God doesn't only care about your actions. God is watching how you think. You can't, see, listen. This is a fact that I learned a long time ago and I've applied it to my life. And I'm still applying it on a daily basis. You cannot live a godly life that is pleasing to God with an impure thought life. And impure, I'm not only talking about morality. I'm talking about all the other stuff. In order to have a blessed life, you got to have a pure life. In order to have a pure life, you got to have a pure thought life. And when I say pure, it's not just talking about immorality. I'm talking about everything that goes with that. the way you treat people, the way you think about people, your interaction, all that kind of stuff. Not being cynical and judgmental and critical and, you know, not, you know, talking behind people's back and putting people down and gossiping, you know. It covers so many different areas. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself. Now watch, this is very important. That exalts itself against the knowledge of God. What does that mean? That means that we have a knowledge of what the Word of God says, how we should think, how we should treat people, how we should live, what it was like, how Jesus lived his life as an example in every area. And he's saying that anything that doesn't line up with that, you have the responsibility to pull down, to bind it, to not let it take root in your life. You and I are responsible before God for our thought life. Come on, say amen. Amen. And bringing. Now, here we go. We're going to tie this up and then talk about a stronghold. We're going to look at two Greek words. And bringing into captivity. Here's the problem. And bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. What percentage of your thought life is pleasing to God and is obedient to the Word of God? What lines up? Think about it right now. Just stop and think. In one whole week, in our thought lives. And we laugh and talk about, oh, if we could only show it on the screen. Now, I know nobody here is perfect. That's why God doesn't. Can you imagine what life would be like on this earth if we could read each other's minds? Can you imagine what this church would be like if we could read each other's minds? You might not be wanting to sit next to somebody. Oh, really? You think that about me? Huh? I don't care if you don't like my hair, or whatever the case may be. You imagine? But God in His, but you and I have to move towards. You and I have to move towards. Now, look at. I'm not trying to like give you goose pimples or make you feel good today. I want to challenge you today so that when you leave here and Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday happen, you're going to live a life that's pleasing to God, that you're growing and maturing and wanting to meditate on the Word of God and grow. That's really what Christianity is all about. It's not about making you feel good. I don't care if you feel good. What I care about is that you're growing and maturing and living a life that's pleasing to God. Isn't that ultimately what it's all about? Yes. Are you growing? Am I growing? Are we changing? That's a heavy one, bringing everything. And a lot of times, you know what, I'll be honest with you. Some of us, we get into the place where, and you have to be careful because you can, the Bible says that there'll come a time when people will be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Lovers of pleasure, I love that. That's my grandson. He's going to be preaching one day. He's amening me, amen. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. A lot of times when people say that, you say, okay, I don't do those things I used to do, talking about conduct, but you still are a lover of pleasure in your thought life. And it's just as important as your conduct, because eventually, listen to what I'm going to say, eventually, if you don't guard your thought life, you're going to start drifting towards that whatever area you're moving towards. It's a known psychological fact that you move towards what you think most about. Now, let's talk about what is a stronghold. I'm glad you asked. The word stronghold, it says that our weapons are not carnal, but are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Question. Can a Christian have strongholds? Somebody said no. You better believe it. Oh, you're... if God would give me one request and let me show people's thought life for the last week, I'll prove to you we got strongholds. You can see people's lives. Now, this is very important to understand something here. Can a Christian have strongholds? Yes. Can we pull down every stronghold? Yes. If you partner with the Holy Spirit. Now think about this. Many of us here, our weaknesses have become our strengths. We're not who we used to be. Thank God. Somebody say amen. We're not who we used to be. We don't do the things we used to do. We don't talk. We don't act the way we used to. We've been set free. Our strongholds have been broken by the power of God's word, by the power of the Holy Spirit, by partnering with God. Now, the word stronghold comes from the Greek word ochara. Ochara. It's one of the oldest words found in the New Testament. The reason why is because it's almost similar to the Hebrew word found in the Old Testament, but this is a New Testament word. Now, in the Old Testament, this same word is translated. You could find this same, if you do a word study, you will find this same word, stronghold, but in Hebrew, in the Old Testament, translated fortress, a citadel, a fortress, a fort. But by New Testament times, when this word was used, and it's found here, stronghold, it means a prison. Everybody say a prison. And so I started thinking, when I was doing a word study here, it came to me like a light bulb went on. Se prendó el foco. For those of you that don't speak Greek, what I just said, I was sitting down meditating on God's word and thinking about my own life. Because I apply God's word to myself. I never sit there and apply it to somebody else. You got to apply God's word to your life. And I said, it means a fortress. It means a fort, a citadel. Wow, that's interesting. What does a fort do? What does a fortress do? What does it mean? They usually build high, impenetrable walls, and they're usually thick. Fortresses or forts are meant to keep people out. Follow this train of thought. I go, wow, that's heavy. But then the New Testament word here, the Greek word, is also translated, because it comes from two words. It's translated, it means a prison. What does a prison do? It's the same fortification, high walls, barbed wire, gun towers, or with modern day, or even back then, steel bars. It's meant to keep people, in. A fort is meant to keep people out. The walls protect the city, or they protect the fort. Protects people from coming in, or it keeps people out. A prison keeps people in. Now watch this train of thought. So I started thinking, the Word of God says that the weapons that we have are not carnal, so it's spiritual. And they're mighty so that we can pull down the stronghold. Both a prison and a fortress have walls. So the walls have to come down. So people can come in and people can get out. But that's where the Holy Spirit lit a light bulb in my mind and in my thinking and looking back over the years of my salvation. Watch this. So when we see that, a more accurate translation of this Greek word, stronghold, would say the pulling down of fortresses or the pulling down of prisons. Both are correct, and they both convey two powerful messages that came so clear to me about strongholds. Now, when I looked at this, this is profound to me, because when I started thinking about this, the word fortress, it has walls that keep people out. And I started thinking, why would the Holy Spirit choose to anoint Paul to use this word? Because the reason why a stronghold sometimes is if your insecurities, I wrote some things down. Your insecurities, your self-doubt, or on the other side of the coin, pride, being full of self, unhealthy need for recognition. All of these things lead to sinful strongholds in your life. But the fortress keeps people out. So what the devil does is come and puts a stronghold And because of your insecurities, you're afraid to open up and tell somebody that you're struggling with a certain thing in your life because you don't want them to think bad about you. And everybody shouldn't know your business, but there's some leaders and some people that can help you. But because you're not open and teachable, you're inside of a fortress, there's a stronghold, and that God sends that person to try to help you change either pride or insecurities. But because it's a stronghold, you don't open up. And it keeps the right people out of your life. On the other side of the coin, it's also translated prison. And a prison keeps you from getting out. And you're stuck. Because you're afraid to step out to become and do everything God's called you to do because you're in a prison. You yourself are kept there. And God has tore down the walls through his word. How many know people that have strongholds? Raise your hand. What's the key? What's the key? What's the key that unlocks the prison door? Huh? Prayer and the word. But if you're not praying, once again, we come back to a simple thing. If you ain't praying, you can't play and expect to live a victorious life. You got to pray. I don't care how good your gifts are. Your gifts don't, that doesn't impress God. God gave you those gifts. I don't care what talent you got. God gave you those talents. We've all seen it before. See, your giftings, if you're very talented and gifted, it'll take you before great men, but you'll be here today and gone tomorrow. When you see longevity in someone's life, it's because of character. And see, character doesn't just happen one time. It ain't like somebody laid their hands on you and bam, you're super Miss Holy Ghost character. Or all of a sudden you got touched by a powerful message, broken at the altar, and you're like, Mr. Spiritual. It's an everyday thing, because you could be around 30 years and still fail in character, 20 years, 10 years, 5 years. Character is a daily thing of us just spending time in God's presence, never drifting from prayer and the word, letting the Holy Spirit keep our emotions sanctified so that we can continue to pull down, because maybe you don't have, watch this, think about what I'm going to say right now too. A lot of us have overcome some strongholds. And how many of you ever talked to a backslider who was once free of something, all of a sudden they're bound again? So just because you're free of certain strongholds doesn't mean the enemy can't come back and try to entangle you again. Come on, let me hear a sound in here. Can I get a witness? Yeah. Oh, yeah. So we have to be very careful. What am I trying to say? We got to be very careful. We have to keep our minds on God's word. Very, very important to stay open and teachable. Now let's go to Philippians chapter 4. Let me see how much time I have. Okay, 20 minutes, 24 minutes. Let's go to Philippians chapter 4. I want to show you this right now for the next few minutes. Am I making you think? Yes. Are you being provoked in your thought life? That's the true reason, why we do this, so we can grow. Okay, Philippians chapter 4. Now I'm going to read it to you, then we're going to go back here and talk about it. Watch this. We're going to begin in verse 6. It says, don't be anxious about anything. Don't be worried. Don't be concerned. That's what the word anxious means. Don't be burdened, overburdened. Don't be about anything, but in everything. Notice the two words, anything. Don't let anything cause you to worry or have fear or doubt. Doesn't matter what it is. God, say, God's in control. Come on, say it like you mean it. God's in control. And it says, but in everything, say everything. Pray about everything. Say, pray about everything. Pray about but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving. In other words, thanking God that it's already done, thanking God before it even comes, before the breakthrough comes, before the healing comes, before the blessing comes, before the change comes in that person, before whatever, just thanking God. Present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, watch that, the peace of God, which transcends all understanding. That's how come you can see a Christian going through some heavy stuff, and they still got the peace. They may have a tear in their eye, but they got joy in their heart. Come on, somebody. Peace of God, which transcends all understanding, watch this, will guard your heart and your mind. Prayer, peace, it'll guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Now notice he says your hearts and your minds. Now here we go, verse 8. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, say it with me. Come on, let's read that together. Say it with me. Think about such things. What does the Bible tell our minds to think about? We just read it. Think about whatever is true. Think about whatever is noble. Whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely. You notice when you look at those things, everything that you and I will ever battle with is contrary to those things. Right? Everything we ever battle in our minds is contrary to that. Now I want you to stop and think. As I'm going to get ready to wind it down. Stop and think. Stop and think about the Apostle Paul who wrote this. He was inspired by the Holy Spirit, yes. But where was Paul the Apostle at? Paul the Apostle, when he said, don't worry about nothing. Hey, don't worry. Don't sweat nothing. When Paul the Apostle said, don't be anxious. Don't be burdened. Don't be worried. He was in a prison cell, in a first century prison cell. How many of you have ever been to Rome and you've seen that prison cell that they say that Paul the Apostle was in? Amen. Huh? It ain't like you picture jail here. You're talking about a cold basement type cement, first century prison. Not only was he there in prison, but he knew he wasn't going to get out. He was just a short period away from being beheaded. And the reason why he wasn't crucified like Peter upside down and all the other ones that were being crucified at the time under the reign of Nero Caesar is because he was a Roman citizen. Though a Jew, a Roman citizen. And so they didn't crucify their own, they would chop their heads off. More pleasant way they thought to be killed. He's there in a prison cell and he's saying, don't worry. Hey, don't be anxious. He's writing this letter to the ones that are okay back in Philippi and to the rest of the church. They weren't sitting in a prison cell. They weren't going hungry. They weren't lonely. They weren't cold. They weren't about to get executed. And he's telling them, listen. Don't worry, pray. The peace of God will keep your heart and your mind. Then he starts telling them, listen, you guys got to control your thought life. Hey, think about what's right. Think about what's true. Think about what's pure. How could he write about positive things in such a negative place? What would you be writing about? Man, Matilda, it's cold. I'm hungry, I'm lonely, I'm sad, they don't feed me, there's no sewer system here. Why didn't he talk about the stench? Why didn't he talk about the cold, the bugs, the mistreatment, the loneliness, the lack of food, all the things that he was suffering there in that first century prison cell? The answer is found. Don't worry, don't fret, don't be discouraged, pray. Somebody say pray.
Pray.
And the second thing is not just pray, but control your thought life. Think, meditate, focus on the things that are true, lovely, pure, right. Don't think about just your circumstances. Don't just allow your feelings to run away with you or your emotions. Have your emotions and your feelings under the influence of the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, and prayer. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Ooh, that's good. So simple, but just if people would just do that, we would have so many victorious Christians. People wouldn't be struggling. People wouldn't be messing up. Man, they'd be. We would have a bunch of like Peter water walkers. Amen. Whatever's true, whatever's lovely. Put your mind on things like we're just passing through. Heaven's waiting for us. The Bible says we're the head and not the tail. Think about things like the Bible says we're more than conquerors. When I've been discouraged, I think about this. No weapon formed against me will prosper. Come on, when people are coming against me and the devil's attacking, I know no weapon formed against me will prosper. I know the Bible says that God will make crooked places straight. Hallelujah, somebody. He said that he's the fourth man in the fire. No matter what I go through, I always turn and I seen Jesus right next to me telling me, come on, son, don't quit. Don't give up. Come on, go forward. I got a plan for your life. I got a calling on your life. There's people for you to encourage. There's people for you to reach. He's the fourth man in your fire. If you'll just turn and listen to him and not talk about your circumstances, control your thought life, prayer, the word, meditation, and being positive. Huh? 2 Timothy 4:18, one of my favorite scriptures, says the Lord will rescue us from every evil attack and will bring us safely to his heavenly kingdom. That's what's true. And then I realize, in Joshua 1:8, he gave Joshua the key to success. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. Speak the word. Don't speak the problem. Don't speak the weakness. Don't speak the word. This book of the law, he said, shall not depart out of you. You should meditate. Somebody say meditate. Meditate. You should meditate on a day and night. In other words, put your mind on the word of God. You know how I've gotten victory over all the ugliness of Job? And I try to keep the victory every day? I spend time in the book. I want to encourage you today. If you're struggling, if you're watching online and there's things, strongholds in your life that you can identify, the only way you're going to change is if you get God's word. You meditate. You meditate. Psalms 1 talks about a tree that is fruitful and green and growing because it's by the planted by the rivers of water. In other words, its roots go down deep into the water of God's presence, into prayer and the word. Meditate, meditate, meditate. Somebody say amen. Amen. Now, in conclusion, you are where you are today because of your thoughts of yesterday and the week before and the year before. And you will be tomorrow as a direct result of your thought life. How you think about God, how you think about people, how you think about things and people. We just got to surrender it and God will give us the victory. Let's stand to our feet. I want to have every head bowed, every eye closed. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Now here's what I want. No one moving around. Just be still now. Just the musicians. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Come on, just let the Holy Spirit minister to you. I want you to think about your life. A fool doesn't give thought to his ways, the Bible says. Let me say that again. A fool doesn't give thought to their ways. But a wise man gives thought to his life, to his ways. Let the Holy Spirit shine the spotlight of heaven today on your mind and on your life and on your strongholds. Maybe there's things in your life that you need to break free from. Jesus said something profound in the New Testament. He says, oh, you come to the altar. You come and you want to offer your gifts. He says, no, keep your gift. Go back and reconcile yourself with your brother first. See, so God cares about how we interact with each other. How we think and how we pray. He cares. See, God, what the Lord is more concerned with is your character. your character than he is about the outside appearance. Man looks at the outward appearance. It's just a natural thing. But God looks at the heart. And I want to challenge everyone watching online, everyone here, let's go to a new level. Let's go. If we get offended, let's be the bigger person and just pray for that person. If we get hurt or you get jealous or you deal with lust, you deal with anger, lying, insecurities. Maybe there's a fortress and you're not letting people in. That's why you're stuck. You're not letting anybody in. God has people all around you that can help you. Maybe not insecurities. Maybe it's the other side of the coin and it's pride. I'm okay. I don't need nobody. Wow, I've arrived. Really? That's scary. The Holy Spirit wants to bring maturity and growth. That's what keeps people from going to new levels. They want another level of anointing, another level of but you could be stuck. Solomon said it this way in the Old Testament, flies in the ointment. Flies in the ointment. It's talking about the anointing of God, the moving of God in your life. And it's profound about flies because they lay larvae. And the fly can get up and leave, but the element that was left there contaminates the anointing. This is for everyone that's here. God is calling us to go deeper. Let's sing a worship song. Come on, let's sing a worship song.
Fill me with your glory.
Oh, rakanda la la bo 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 bo. Holy Spirit.
Fill me with your power.
Lord, help us grow. Help us change. God, you're the only one, Lord. We need you, Lord.
Fill me with your spirit. Lord, I long to be like you. Oh, God.
Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Fill me.